Yeah, I would say Kelvin's feeling better. That's great.
Amen.
Really appreciate him leading us in those songs. Great job this morning. Really set a great tone for our worship, and especially that last song. I want to talk about, I've had this can of tennis balls on a shelf in my office for 6 years now. Now to you, it probably just looks like a ordinary can of tennis balls. You know, nothing extraordinarily special about it. But for some reason, I put it up there on my shelf, and it's been there for 6 years, and I want to share that with you. And I don't have any plans of ever throwing them away. Why in the world would that be? First of all, it's from my favorite tennis tournament, the French Open in Paris, France. My brother, he was there several years ago, and he bought them while he was in Paris and brought them back to me as a gift because he knew that this was my favorite tennis tournament. And so I really appreciated him doing that. That was nice of him. But that's not why they're so special to me. My father, today's Father's Day, right? Yeah. And my father, most of you know, he loved to play tennis. He would love the weather we're having right now. A favorite saying of his was he loved to play when it was 110 degrees in the shade. I don't know that it ever was, but he loved to say that. You know, that was how hardcore he was about tennis. You know, we moved away from home, and when we were living in California or Colorado or even here, they would come out to visit us from time to time, and I'd always tell him, bring your tennis racket, you know, and so he'd bring his tennis racket, and we would make time to go out and play. But you all witnessed, you know, how he got older, and his mobility was not what it used to be. His eyesight wasn't as, you know, strong as it had been previously. And after my mom died, you know, he would still make some trips. He probably shouldn't have been driving, to be honest, but he would make trips to Florida. And, you know, and he was getting older. And I remember one of the last times, I think it was the last trip he made, you know, I said, well, bring your tennis racket. And he hadn't played probably in several months, but maybe longer, but he still brought it. Because I told him, bring your tennis racket, we're going to play. So sure enough, you know, and I was waiting for the perfect occasion to break out these balls. And so we opened them up, and we went. And I imagine we hit probably 10 balls. And he just gave up. He couldn't do it anymore. You know, and he said that was it. And so why are these tennis balls so special to me? It's because what we were talking about last Sunday morning when we were talking about the Lord's Supper. You know, the thing that makes it so special is who it was and when it took place. And the things that makes this so special to me is you can understand, I'm sure, who it was and when these balls were opened. And no one's ever hit with them again or ever will, I suppose. One of them's missing. I don't know what happened. There are four balls that come in this can. And these probably aren't that special to you. And, you know, some child may come up and say, can I have one of those balls? No, you can't. These are sacred to me because of who it was and when it was. I've got some old balls in the back of my truck. You can have one of those if you want them. But these are very special to me, very sacred. How is it that something that seems so ordinary to the average person can be so special? We talked last week about Jeanette's picture. She's got a picture in her house that if her house was on fire, she would run in and save it more than anything else. And she was willing to pay, you said, $500 for that picture. Why? It's because of who it was. It was her and her husband. And when it was their wedding day. And you see, Paul used that same line of reasoning when he was talking to the Corinthians about what we're going to do here in just a moment. They had all kind of problems observing the Lord's Supper. He said, it's better for you not to even come together because of the way you're doing it. They had made such a mess out of this precious feast that we're about to partake of in just a moment. And so he addressed that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But my point was, before he told them exactly what to do, he kind of prefaced all of his remarks with this solemn reminder about who it was, the Lord Jesus, and when it was, the same night he was betrayed. He goes on to say, he took bread and he explained what the Lord's Supper is all about. And he told them, you know, don't eat of this meal unless you do it in a worthy manner. But before he got to all that, he kind of set the tone by talking about who it was and what it was. You know, my father's been gone, I think, 4 years now. Not sure if it's been that long. You know, and it's kind of hard for me to talk about him in some ways because I loved him so much and because I miss him and I appreciate, you know, all these things about him. But I was thinking, how much more should we be moved to be sober-minded when we come to this memorial every Sunday, when we stop and think about who it was and when it was that this memorial was instituted? Who was it? It was the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who came into this world, you know, and lived a perfect life and is about to give his life on the cross. When was it? It was the very night he was betrayed. As soon as they leave the upper room, they start for the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he'll be arrested and taken into custody, put on trial. He'll be beaten and mocked and ridiculed. And he'll be taken out early the next morning and nailed to the cross. Now that's why this memorial should be so precious to us. The night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus met with his apostles and he said, I want you to do this ongoing in the future. Till I come back, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. And so I hope it helps us understand, you know, why we take this time seriously, why we should be so sober-minded, why we, you know, pause and we're silent for just a little while. Pretty much the only time in our service there's basically silence. It's because we want to stop and think about how God sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. And that's such a precious sacrifice that was made. Let's bow our heads now and give thanks for the bread. Dear Father in heaven, we humbly bow as we prepare to partake of this memorial. We confess our sins to you. We're sorry that we rebelled. But we thank you for loving us enough to not give up and to provide a way of salvation. Be with us all now as we partake of this remembrance of Jesus' body. Help us to do it in a way that pleases you. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.